Welcome back to the Nerdament Podcast. My name is Hayden. I'm here, as per usual, with
Victoria
and
Aaron.
And we're here to talk about some Star Wars. Who's excited?
I don't think I said my name right.
Shut up, Aaron.
I don't think I said my name right. I think I should get a redo.
Victorky?
No.
What?
Why would you bring up my middle school
Her nickname from middle school.
Kids can be cruel.
Wait, I think it was high school, actually.
Is that better or worse?
Kids can be cruel.
I mean, I didn't choose it.
Middle school kids have no, like, limitations because they don't know. They haven't differentiated what is harsh and what is a joke. So I think it's worse if it was high school because those people have some sense of morality at this point, and they still chose call them that.
I work in a high school.
I said some.
Yeah. It's not the worst nickname because I adamantly hate Vicky.
Icky Vicky.
Is it because of Fairly Odd Parents?
No, it's just
not
a very popular nickname.
Just because of Fairly Odd Parents? It's because, like, I like my name. Mm. And so many people who have the name Victoria choose to shorten it to either Vicky or Tori. Mm. And I just don't feel like a Vicky or a Tori. I feel like a Victoria.
Don't feel like a Tori from Victorious?
No.
I know I do dislike Aaron because of that one Key and Peele skit.
You done messed up, AA Ron.
I still get called that. That came out when I was 12. I am 20.
If you don't have something attached to your name for people to, I guess, chant at you.
Yeah, you end up being called Hayden all the time.
You just haven't lived. Like, you haven't lived if you don't have.
Apparently, people don't like shortening my name. So she's the only one that does.
Well, yeah.
Actually, you and Jennifer Deshawn. Mm. She calls she calls me Hade. Mm. Like with a D.
It's kind of hard. It doesn't feel right to just drop it like that.
You can call me literally anything else.
I mean, it's
not no, hold on. You can't call me literally anything else. But if you were to come up with a playful fun nickname, that would be fine.
I mean, I call you Hay already.
It's boring.
It is not. Hey, the chicken. Something. Do you want me to call you that?
From Moana?
Yep.
Voiced by Ally Tujic.
Hate that fucking chicken.
Exactly. Now you know what it feels like.
My ex used to call me that.
The hey, the chicken?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she was above her time.
Before her time. You didn't know her. Let's just say it was before, not above. All right, so Aaron threw a fit when I said we were going to talk about Star Wars. So Aaron,
that's
why
my job.
Are we here?
Well, for those of you all watching at home, me and Hayden have... Hayden's still mad about me using that
Nobody's
verb.
Nobody's watching.
Yeah.
They could be just staring at their phone while...
Why would anyone do that?
They could be scrolling through Instagram or watching TikTok on mute.
That's still not watching us.
Who watches TikTok on mute?
Harry? Yeah.
I'm sure people do. That's a taste thing.
Some people will... I won't say people do it that I know of, but I do know that there is a community on TikTok dedicated to
BDSM.
To posting videos that do have captions on it because of like the deaf community. So people could watch it on
YouTube. Yeah, it would make sense logistically for like the deaf community, deaf part of TikTok and hard of hearing TikTok.
Yeah.
Aaron
belongs
but
to.
But we're also.
Aaron's part of hard of hearing TikTok.
I'm not active on TikTok, so I don't know about the hard of hearing
TikTok,
but hard of hearing, yes.
TikTok.
We'll see.
Yeah, in but case you guys didn't know, Aaron has one functioning ear, and that's the baby.
That's. it's a barely functioning ear.
Oh, I'm so sad.
And it's not my fault.
This borderline needs a hearing aid.
He was just born that way.
Hey, you can't talk.
I was there.
I'm the only healthy one here.
Healthy?
You're the only.
You just call yourself healthy?
Okay,
the
I'm
only
the
one
only,
not part of the
disabled
community.
Yeah, I'm the only non-disabled community person.
Have you seen yourself?
I'm a potato.
That's not what I meant. Moving on. We need to go.
Those of you all watching at home, Me and Hayden created a 128 seed tournament using Jedi, Sith, and people with gun. Me and Hayden present characters, and Victoria renders the final judgment.
Hey, you know, with gun. What? Okay. So this is, we have three more episodes left of this part of the tournament. And then we'll appear back on YouTube. Don't worry, we are coming back to YouTube. It is happening.
Yeah, you totally missed us, right?
Yeah, you did. All 12 of you people. Or all 6 of you subscribers, and 3 of them are here at this table.
Yep.
I missed it. I miss not watching our videos on YouTube.
Same.
And yeah. I didn't watch them. I was in them.
I don't watch them either. I barely watch my own YouTube videos.
Yeah, she has her own YouTube channel, in case you guys didn't know.
Oh yeah, Victory by Design.
It is no longer Victory by Design. It is now just... That shows
how up to date you are.
Yeah.
I'm a very behind person.
I don't think he watches your videos.
It's okay, he's subscribed, so it's okay.
I don't watch your videos either.
Yeah, I know, I have to force you to watch
them. A lot of the time we experience them.
Yeah, I know you in person.
Okay, that's...
I don't need to know you.
Victoria.
That's not a valid reason. It's
Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, it's just Victoria Jackson.
Victoria. No unusual
spelling.
Spell
spellings. That out. Yeah, spell that out for us.
It's, but you do have to attach Victoria design at the end to find
Jackson.
How is that spelled?
Victoria Jackson.
Don't forget you have to attach design at the end to find me.
Anyways, we're coming back to YouTube. It's inevitable. It'll be around the beginning of April. Rough time.
Roughly, yes.
Yeah, and it'll look considerably different than it did last time we were here.
Quite a bit.
Will it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It will.
It'll look better.
It'll look better. How's it going to look better?
We'll have an actual set this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not actually here in person with us at the moment.
The camera quality will still be shit, though.
One thing at a time.
Okay.
Anyways, Aaron, why are we here? Or, no, why? Very Who good. Are we here to talk about?
Well, we're here to talk about Darth Vectivus versus Darth Geen. Or Geen, I don't... I like talking about them like Geen.
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 Geen. Geen.
Anyways.
Geen. Gone with the wind.
No.
Who's that? Okay. Ulic Quelladroma versus Quinlan Vos.
I think that's Qui-Gon Ulic.
Fennec Shand. Fennec Shand.
Louder, please.
I'm trying to be quiet.
Fennec Shand versus Qui-Gon Jinn, and Elzar Mann versus Orbelin. So,
I got a rough draw on this one. I got the short end of the stick today because Aaron gave me this character. So I just want everybody to know that
Hayden specifically looked at this list for today and said, "No, you pick."
This is a rough list. Okay, this episode is rough as hell. It's bad. These characters are bad.
Present Geen.
Ass.
Present Geen.
Fine. I'm going to tell you right now, Geen is ass, though.
Fuck ass. You.
No. Geen is ass. So,
just talk about Geen. Hey.
Geen. I have somebody who was vaguely mentioned by our favorite Sith here at the Nerdament Podcast.
Malgus.
No, Aaron, that's actually our favorite. Shut up.
Darth Endedu.
Who the fuck is that?
He's on next episode. You're presenting.
What the fuck?
It's like this man doesn't even know his job.
I don't know who that is. I didn't know who this was until today either. So, I'm talking Darth Plagueis here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Darth Geen. I thought you were going to go with like Darth Sidious.
No. Darth Geen was mentioned in a story by Darth Plagueis.
To Sidious?
I have no fucking idea. I
mean, who else does Darth Plagueis talk to?
Himself. So Geen. What are you looking at?
Huh?
So Geen was a Twi'lek female Sith. She lost an arm and part of her head in a fight with her master, who, for the Sith, was like, went back to the Jedi ways, and that was bad. Like, this guy was like the Sith Grandmaster or whatever, and he was like, listen, I think we should be more compassionate, maybe. Like, not as mean all the time.
Mm, that's what she looked like?
Yeah, that's what she looked like after she get things cut off. And she's like, maybe we should be nicer. Her master was like, maybe we should be nicer, not as mean to people, be more like the Jedi. And she's like, I'm gonna kill you.
So she killed him.
Like a, as a Sith would.
Yeah.
That rule of two.
She has prosthetics to make up for the missing arm and face.
How'd she get all this stuff cut off?
Lightsaber.
Lightsaber duels.
So she's...
With one duel. There's one duel with one with duel. Her master.
So she's bad?
Or... She's a Sith.
No.
Well, I mean, she was fighting her master.
Yeah, it was
probably like before she was ready to fight her master.
Yeah, it was.
Aren't people, when they're training you, supposed to not like cut off your body parts?
One would think.
This was like when she was trying to kill him.
Yeah, she was like fed up with him trying to be nice, and so she tried to kill him.
Oh, okay.
And in the fight, he cut off her arm and part of her face and like part of her chest, but she still killed him. And then got prosthetics to cover up that missing appendages.
These things make sense now.
Yes. She could break through force barriers. Kind of like a barrier similar to that of seen in Ready Player One.
Okay, that's cool.
That barrier. That one scene during like the club?
No.
Well, you're not talking about that one?
That's a force field.
Oh, you're talking about the Orb of Ocelot?
The Orb of Ocelot?
Of ocelots?
No.
I can't remember how to
pronounce Orb of Ocelots.
Okay.
But like in the final battle, like the castle battle thing, it was like a force field like that, but made of force. So it was actually a force field.
Quite literally, yeah.
Yeah. But she was able to break through that. Yeah.
Is that all?
Story told by Plagueis.
Oh, okay.
My character is also indirectly mentioned. It's Darth Vectivus. That is him, Victoria. Not much skin showing.
Yeah, no.
Very ominous.
That's good, though.
He kind of reminds me of Voldemort.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's giving Voldemort vibes.
I don't give a fuck. His name was Mark.
He was the director of a mining company on an asteroid. Yeah, you know, the typical Sith startup.
You know, imagine the basic Sith background.
Yeah. Mining.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes anger to mine.
He was known as, he wasn't angry.
What?
His entire life, he was not angry.
How's he a Sith?
He was very strict, but he was very strict and he had a strict moral code. Director
like that once.
Yeah. Strict and had a very stern moral code.
Okay, this
and he was well respected by his employees.
More like a Jedi than a Sith.
It sounds like the Jedi librarian lady.
Jocasta knew.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he decided to shut down the operation when he discovered that there was a dark side nexus on this asteroid, and it was starting to affect his workers in a very negative sense. And he realized this because he was force sensitive himself.
Did they unionize?
You know, considering the lack of labor laws in Star Wars, is very possible.
Yeah, good for them. Yeah. You know,
I hope they got
they need protection,
more money, like you know, 50 cents.
The Mining Guild is one of the worst in Star Wars.
They need protection against you know inflation and stuff, wage protection and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Also, their boss is literally a Sith, so
not yet.
It's not great.
Not yet.
He hasn't finished the story yet. Let him finish.
And he, since he was force sensitive, he decided to stick around, study the dark side powers of this asteroid, and experiment with them.
It's a force sensitive rock?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, Dathomir is a force sensitive rock, pretty much. So Dagobah is a force sensitive rock.
No, you said it wrong every single time. You, like, refuse to say it correctly.
Dagobah!
Victoria, you want to give it a try?
What?
Say Dagobah.
I don't know if any of y'all out there have seen like a. I think it was British made at.
It was like a Garmin or something.
Yeah,
like
it was like for GPS, and it was advertising there was a Star Darth Vader Wars
one too.
Yeah, roundabout.
Roundabout.
that had a formative part of me and Hayden's childhood. We still quote roundabout and Dagobah.
I mean, every time I say Dagobah in this entire like podcast, it sounds exactly.
It's
like
always
that,
so. Referencing that GPS.
I'm
going
to get to say it later too.
Yeah, you will. Anyway. He decides to experiment with this, and he finds out about, I'm potentially powerful. And he decides to go join the Sith.
He goes, wait, joins.
So he had a choice?
Pretty much, yeah.
And he chose the Sith?
Yeah. He went to the Sith and became Dark Lord of the Sith. This is during World 2, which means he did have to kill his master. And I will repeat, he didn't feel anger. He wasn't an angry person. So it's more like a just, I know I have to do this.
Well, if his master was like Plagueis, I mean...
Yeah. So he chose wrong, basically, is what we're saying.
I mean, like, it's a questionable moral character, I feel like, if you have a choice between the Jedi and the Sith, and you choose the Sith.
Just wait.
True.
Became Dark Lord of the Sith during World 2. For his entire lifetime, he is the only Sith to withstand the corruption of the dark side and resist its power. Because of his strict moral code. And he returned to the asteroid and built a mansion there. And he died peacefully of old age.
This is some bullshit.
What type surrounded of Sith is this? This is not a Sith.
You're making this up right now. Did you write this?
Yeah. He died peacefully, surrounded by friends, family, and his second apprentice.
This is a fake Sith.
Fuck you.
Look it up, Hayden.
He made this shit up.
No.
This isn't a real person.
This is the only
Sith. Can I win by default?
This is the only Sith in history. And I guarantee you, he can mop the floor with this person. This is the only Sith in history to die a peaceful death.
What? Spell his name.
Like, Vect I-V-U-S.
Vectivus? Yeah. No, I stand by what I said.
What does that mean in Latin?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far.
Damn it.
Yeah, no. This guy definitely chose the wrong side.
I mean, or the right side.
Because he basically... at a place called The Home.
Yeah, which is his mansion on the asteroid. He kept the dark side from tearing apart the galaxy for his lifetime. Okay. Which, given his strict moral code...
Wait, is he what strict. Sith were supposed to be?
I doubt that.
I mean, like, if he could keep the dark side from corrupting things, but, like,
whenever,
still be in control of it...
Whenever Sith just start getting into the dark side, Anakin was getting in there for good reasons... Whenever they join for good reasons and like, I can control this. He did that his entire lifetime.
Hmm.
Anyway. He had a red single lightsaber.
That's because he did no evil.
Yeah. He's the Sith that did no evil.
He didn't. This is a quote from Lumia. Discusses Darth Vectigus' character with Jason Solo.
Yeah.
Who was a bad guy.
Yes. He also encountered Ben Skywalker, which I will get to. He was the creator and sole master of a force technique called Force Phantoms. In which it was a extremely elaborate technique that was lost for generations. Where he would channel the dark side to create a life form like object. And a representation of a living being, such as a human or in several creatures. And he would tie the energy force of this phantom to an actual random living person. So if anybody fought the phantom, then the living person would experience that pain. And if you killed the phantom, the innocent person dies.
Okay. So what it says...
He created hundreds of these and basically guarded... The asteroid was covered in hundreds of phantoms that were guarding him and his family and his friends. He just built them up and he was able to sustain hundreds of these at once.
Wow.
What the fuck? Who is this guy?
I know, right?
Crazy.
And it was notable that it required extreme levels of will.
Wow. Okay, I respect it.
Yeah. Do I need to go on?
No, but I feel like Hayden must share with us before we move on.
Yeah. So. This is a quote from a person named Lumia talking to Jason Solo. Mm-hmm. Jason Solo says, "Never heard of him." Lumia says, "That's because he did no evil. He didn't attempt to conquer the galaxy, try to wipe out the population of a star system, or start an all-out war with the Jedi. He just existed, learned, died of an old age, surrounded by family and friends."
Well.
The only Sith to ever do that.
This is bullshit.
I say after learning more about him, I have mad respect for him.
Yeah. I think either, there are two possibilities with this guy. Either he was what people in the control of the dark side were supposed to do.
Mm.
Or
This guy was secretly a Jedi.
Undercover Jedi.
He was a
Jedi.
Mining director, my guy.
He was secretly a Jedi instead of being a Sith. But he was a Jedi that studied the dark side.
No. Do you know what happens when a Jedi gets a taste of that power? Yeah, they start like murdering people.
Anakin Skywalker.
They go on a merchant spree.
My next character, who is also a top seed, so you're going to have to go
and
first.
One of my other characters.
Right, you're Quinlan Vos. Mm.
Wait, is that who I'm talking about right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Oh, my other character that I just said.
I have Quinlan Vos.
I literally never gave a verdict.
Oh, okay. What's your verdict?
Don't look at me like that. You were fine with just
continuing. What is your verdict?
No. Just for that, I'm not even going to say the person lost. You lost. You are the loser here.
Kind of mean.
So Quinlan Vos.
Quinlan Vos. He's a Kiffar male Jedi. Lived in the time of the Clone Wars. He was a Jedi Knight. Clone Wars. He was both a Jedi and at one point fell to the dark side during the Clone Wars. All during the Clone Wars. Fell to the dark side and then came back to the light side.
Oh. By he's the getting end of the Hercules Wars. Vibes.
And then.
Kind of, yeah.
And then either survived or in a deleted scene had the most hardcore fucking death of all time.
Technically, in that Legends hardcore scene where it was like on a turbo tank, they had a minigun turret. He was standing on the front of the turbo tank behind them. The turret on the minigun turned around and then just shot straight through the other turbo tank with him on that. And according to Legends that was a part of, for a time it was canon that he lived through that and survived.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so this guy...
That's not canon anymore.
Now it's just a question mark.
This guy did not play around. He was very close to Asajj Ventress, who we'll talk about next week. Yes. Fell to the dark side, only to return to the light side and lead to clone forces late in the war. He also teamed up with Obi-Wan quite a bit.
Oh.
Obi-Wan describes him as, quote, crazy.
Yeah, he does, actually.
Man, I just can't get over his death. Because it's like, it's kind of funny, because like in the deleted scene, it was like, you know, they had barely touched the animation. So he was just like, just sort of standing there. And like, the gun is like, I don't know, 3 feet away from him.
Yeah.
And it just like turns and like sits there and like looks at him and he doesn't move. And then it just like shoots and it's just a massive explosion. So it's like,
the original Order 66. Like deleted scenes, it was sad. Like the what they went with was sad. The original one was sad, but it was so overkill that it was hilarious. Barriss Offee got shot by several clones in an AT-AT, all cannons on an AT-AT, and then the ATTE, and then the ATTE stepped on her for good measure.
Yeah, so it could have been way worse. But yeah, he was just like. Never moved. He was just standing there like that through the entire experience.
Yeah. That's not his canon death anymore,
no,
though.
No. He was handpicked by the Jedi to assassinate Dooku. He did actually fight Dooku quite a lot, just like Obi-Wan and Anakin did.
Mm.
He fought Asajj Ventress a lot. He fought a lot of dudes. Fought Grievous. And he defeated Grievous and Ventress multiple times.
Oh.
And Dooku multiple times.
He also befriended Ventress.
And then befriended Ventress.
And yeah. You know, befriended some more.
No, you know what I mean? Without pants on?
No, I get I got yeah, it.
You get it.
Yeah, no, I got it originally.
They became lovers.
Nope.
And then Ventress sacrificed herself for him.
Mm-hmm. It's all in a book.
Yeah, it was originally a Clone Wars arc, but it's Dark Disciple?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's Dark Disciple. And that cemented his, that just cemented him in the light, her sacrifice.
Yeah. He was actually able to hide, but he fell into the dark side. Well, he did that while undercover, I believe.
Wait, he was becoming a Sith?
Yeah, he was acting like he was going to become Dooku's apprentice in an attempt to assassinate him. Then he kind of started to fall for it and turn to the dark side. This is you're going to get a lot of resurgent vibes with a certain person you're about to hear from. And then, like, Ventress eventually sacrificed herself for him, and then he was, like, stayed in the light.
Yeah, but he was, like, borderline Grey Jedi the whole time, though.
Yeah.
He had some outlandish methods.
Of course.
And, like I said, Anakin. Obi-Wan described him as crazy.
Yeah. Like Anakin, but more so. Mm. Obi-Wan, who was always with Anakin, described him as crazy.
Mm. But when it came to Force powers, he was able to hide that he was falling to the dark side. And then he was able to levitate Count Dooku during a fight.
Oh.
Levitate and disarm Count Dooku.
He also has psychometry.
And psychometry. He is renowned for his psychometry, which is, Aaron?
It's Force Echoes in now canon. He can read the memory of an object.
Oh, that's interesting and weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Cal Kestis from a couple weeks ago.
Last week.
Wow. Cal Kestis from last week had the same ability.
That's Quinlan Vos.
I have Ulic Kaladroma. I'm going to try to get through this biography as fast as I can, because there's a lot here. He was a Jedi in the Old Republic, the Legends Old Republic. This is going to tie together a lot of names we've come across in this season so far. He was sent to Onderon in a war against a Sith-worshipping royals and a cult that was founded by Freedon Nadd whenever he took over the planet as a Force ghost. Eventually, he and several Jedi were able to defeat and banish Nadd from Onderon. Later, the Krath cult, which was a dark side cult but not necessarily Sith, started rising up, and Ulic suggested that he go and be sent undercover to go dismantle it from the inside. Sound familiar? And he went over there into this cult. They did not give him permission, but he went anyway. He went into this cult, and he started falling for it, and turned to the dark side. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
He didn't have a Ventress, though. So he stayed in the dark side for a while. Later, Exar Kun showed up. The very powerful Exar Kun. And the two of them dueled for hours to a standstill, and then Freedon Nadd's ghost showed up and stopped the fight and declared both of them Sith. And then he went and conquered the Mandalorians, and yeah.
By himself?
Yeah, he challenged Mandalore the Indomitable to a one-on-one combat and beat him.
Oh.
And then conquered the Mandalore. I should also mention that was a rigged fight in which Mandalorian the Indomitable should have won. It was rigged in his favor. And Ulic had to use Mandalorian weapons instead of a lightsaber.
Oh.
So later, he was able to successfully attack Coruscant and almost got to the point of like getting to the Senate and like just tearing it apart pretty much. But he was captured temporarily before being released by Mandalore the Indomitable. He later was at a Jedi temple and he fought and killed his brother who was still a Jedi. And this caused Nomi Sunrider to in her anguish for the death of Kay Kaladroma, his brother that he murdered, she cut off Ulic from the Force completely.
Ooh.
He immediately regretted all of his actions because he realized what he did, and helped the Jedi stop Exar Kun and went into self-induced exile, eventually training Sunrider's daughter to become a Jedi.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, the pilot that brought Nomi Sunrider's daughter to him recognized him, went back and gave information to the Jedi, almost went to Nomi Sunrider herself, but decided to go instead to a different Jedi. This Jedi was very anti-Kaladroma and thought they should have executed him.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, and that Jedi is like, bring me to him. Huh? And then the pilot brought them to him, and the pilot, the Jedi was like, "You murdered Jedi. Your people in the dark side are unredeemable. I'm going to kill you for justice." And Cal Drogo's kind of like, "That sounds like a blood feud, my guy." That kind of sounds like the dark side. Mm. I'm like, I'm not into that anymore. So I can tell you that's not great. And then the Jedi didn't care and attacked him. They dueled for a while, and then the pilot thought to himself, "This could be my chance to be cemented as a hero in the history books for killing the great Khal Droma." And then during the duel, he shot him in the back.
That's not Coward. A hero.
No, but he was. His name is included in history books. The fictional history books. That is
as a.
I can't remember. Coward? His name. I don't care. I don't want to
Who name was the him. Jedi?
I can't remember either.
Oh, the way you were saying it, I thought it was going to be like a big surprise.
No, this is the one
big reveal.
This is the one big character on here that we don't have. He was apparently a very influential Jedi during this time, but like, nah, I don't care.
No, nobody cares.
I especially don't think we should be just continuing the name of the pilot, because that was a cowardice move.
Shot him in the back.
Yeah, he didn't even use the Force at the time. Anyway, he used Form 5, very offensive, strength, all that. He has a yellowish-green lightsaber. He has all the Jedi Sith abilities, as well as Force Scream, which is like...
Malgus has.
Yeah, so does Palpatine. During the, like, it's treason then, and then...
And they did, like, a 720.
And, like, screamed and, like, was able to kill 4 Jedi Masters with it.
Oh, Palpy.
Yeah. Maul also used it, like, the Kenobi. That, yeah. That. It's, like, augmenting your voice way past the volume that it should be.
It's just supposed to be off-putting.
Yeah, it's supposed to, like, surprise the person.
Unless you're Malgus and you can, like, destroy ships with it.
Yeah.
That's a little much.
Yeah. He was also able to use possession instead of just normal mind tricks. He was very good at those, but he was also able to just fully possess a person.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Well, one of the big, like, 2 Sith of this period. He also used a Sith talisman, which was only 2 of that caliber were made, one for him, one for Exar Kun, and they were reportedly of equal power. Exar Kun's was what he used to destroy a Jedi temple and kill Freedon Nadd's ghost. It was a Sith amulet, and he later fashioned it onto his gauntlet to use it during combat. With his, like Thanos, pretty much, yeah. And it was reportedly more powerful than dark side magic could create.
There's no time to mourn.
I already said that about no Mandalore the Indala.
I think you're even... good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Respect to Quinlan.
Yeah. Great guy.
Quinlan has a great character arc.
I looked it up. I tried to see if he, like, ever died, and there's no actual firm death date.
Yeah. There. No canon.
Nah. He's just rumored to have survived.
He has a great story arc. But we're not going here for, like, story arcs. That would be...
We're going for pure power.
Yeah, no, we're going full, like, duels here.
This dude. That's unfair.
Yeah.
No, it's not fair.
If we did it by who had the better story, then that would be a much more different, passionate argument.
But do you have a winner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's pretty obvious.
They're staring. They can't see you, so you're gonna have to vocalize your thoughts.
You mean, like, you guys need me to say it to you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, Hayden loses again.
I'm not even in this fight.
Can you say his name? Because it's confusing just reading it. So.
Where is it?
Let it's at see. The top of the right page.
This
other one, yeah.
What is the thing written next to it?
Orbesh. It's his name in Orbesh.
Will Jell Drama.
Yep.
That's
right.
That's pretty close. That's close enough.
Will Jell Drama is the winner there of the fight between Quinlan Voss and Ulic Quell Drama.
I think the closest, the big event is going to have to be Fennec and Qui-Gon.
Whatever.
So let's go with Elzar and Orvalin.
All right.
I have Orbelin. All right. So, Orbelin is the...
Fling your string at me. You watch yourself.
So no one can see what's happening, okay? Just move on. Yeah, no.
Orbelin is the first Ugor...
It's a spaceman.
...Jedi in the Jedi Order.
That we know of.
Which is a... Ugor is a... Is an... Well, no, like, first recorded in history. And Ugor is like an amorphous kind of being. That basically... They can't survive off of their home world. So they inhabit a, like, spaceman-looking suit. Like the kinds that went up on the moon and all that.
Yeah.
They inhabit that suit. And that's how they encounter the rest of the galaxy. Just also a fun fact. They are able to make vocalizations. They talked about... Elzar brought this up whenever he first saw Orbelin.
My guy's name is Elzar, by the way.
Yeah.
Hmm. I have Elzar.
Okay. I have Orba. Whenever they were... that they made vocal... They vocal sounds through the suit. Since they couldn't speak because they're amorphous.
Yeah.
They would... make movement inside of the suit, and that would cause the suit to interpret that as speech. So their language is pretty much movement. So anyway, he served as the Jedi archivist on Starlight Beacon, the crown jewel.
Was he there in the last one?
No. I'm assuming, it's not said, but assuming the fact that nobody mentioned him, I'm gonna hope not, because I love Orbelin. Orbelin's the vibe I want to be.
Nerdy as
hell. Yeah, and low-key boring.
He is. Nobody wants to be...
When Elzar saw him, Elzar thought it was Eivor, his, like, lover, pretty much. On-and-off lover we'll get there in the in a Jedi. Second. Yeah. And Orbelin went in her stead, and Elzar groaned because... Orbelin seems like a nice guy. He's a good Jedi, but he said, like, he's so boring.
He said that out loud.
Yeah. He did an autopsy on a Drungir infected hut aboard Starlight Beacon. Then a Drungir broke out and wreaked havoc on Starlight Beacon for a bit. And that's what caused Eivor to basically declare war on the Drungir. Later, he went to the Valo Fair before the attack. Whenever the Nihil did attack, he and a journalist named Rildaro went to re-establish comms and send out distress signals so that the Republic could, join in and try to save everybody in the attack.
How'd that go?
Actually worked. But the Togruta got involved first before the Republic and helped them. Mostly because their queen was there and they just joined the Republic. They were about to join the Republic. At one point, he single-handedly fought off several Nihil, including the second-in-command of the entire group, Lorna D, while Daro reset communications.
Just a reminder, Nihil are coked-up pirates.
I'll get to that. His lightsaber form is not really, like... His lightsaber form isn't known, but given the fact... There's one Ugor that showed up in live action, just in the background. Given how they move... Imagine Darth Vader, like one arm.
Yeah, it's just like a suit.
Yeah, one arm, minimal movements, that kind of thing.
But he's also an archivist, so keep that in mind as well.
Okay,
we'll get to that. He has a green lightsaber, and it was notably pretty short, probably like the size of his forearm.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was a shorter blade than Noble. Then,
why?
That was what he wanted.
I mean, you would think with minimal movement, you'd want a longer.
It's just, it was his preference.
Maybe he's short in the suit.
So well, he is. He's just like a blob.
Yeah.
Yeah, the suit can be changed, but I think he's taller than the average person with the suit on. Anyway, he has the available Jedi abilities. Now, during his fight with Lorna D, I should also mention, Lorna D is the master assassin of the Nihil, the second in command, and the most dangerous woman in the galaxy at this time. She was... Only two people have ever been able to beat her in a fight thus far. One of them is Eivor Kriss, because Lorna D challenged her to a one, got made it personal, and challenged Eivor Chris to a one-on-one without like any tricks or anything, and decided to fight Eivor with a lightsaber. Which, pro tip, if you or your friends are thinking about making it personal and trying to challenge a Jedi with a lightsaber,
to a fight with a lightsaber,
yeah, no matter how dangerous of a person you are, don't. They have literally trained from that since they were 4 years old. Yes, that's Lorna D. Since they were 4 years old. With and that's a Jedi master. You're gonna lose.
This is shortly before she got fucked.
against Orbelin, she was using, like, there was her and then two of her personal crew, which she got to choose her crew.
Mm-hmm.
So she chose the most dangerous people she could find for her crew. And they also had a security droid with them. I refuse to believe that.
He's dead.
I refuse to believe that.
He's
what?
Dead.
Who's dead?
No.
He died aboard the Atraxia.
You should also put a spoiler warning before that.
Spoiler alert.
This is a little late, man.
Orb guy's dead?
Apparently. It's the Jedi. It's the Jedi cruiser.
When would he have died?
It was a part. It was attached to Starlight Beacon. Whenever it blew up.
Guy.
But isn't that the ship that... What's her name was on?
Eivor? Probably, yeah.
But she's not...
I don't know. We didn't see what happened on the Atraxia.
I'm gonna look it up.
Anyway, so, against Lorna D, it was basically 4-on-1, and he was able to easily beat them, because while he was fighting them, they were in the archives, with all the artifacts and everything. And they were looting, taking whatever looked valuable, and destroying what wasn't. Yeah, and he got in there and just like, I wouldn't destroy that if I were you. And then was giving them lectures on the things that they were breaking. Drew his lightsaber. And then gave them lectures on every artifact within the archive hall while fighting them. And was unfazed. Imagine Darth Vader mixed with a college professor speaking at a monotone. While you're trying to murder him.
No.
And he's just throwing you across the room. And he would specifically lecture them about the artifacts that he was picking up that were sturdier than the other ones, that he was picking up with the Force and throwing at them. And he was telling them all of the information that he knew about this while fighting them to throw them off, basically, and get them so bored when they were unable to fight on their terms. During this, he was able to lift an ancient coin that they were trying to steal.
Mm-hmm.
And while the security droid was trying to, about to kill Daro, he threw the coin with the Force and it was basically a bullet.
Oh.
And killed the droid. Mm-hmm. He was able to easily defeat the Nihil, including the master assassin and most dangerous woman. Who, by the way, the number one in charge of the Nihil, the most dangerous person in the galaxy. Is unable to kill her despite all of his cunning and all of his resources. He's unable to kill Lorna D
for lack of trying.
Yeah, he has tried extensively. And he ended his duel with Lorna D by using a Force push to throw her through the roof. And when she landed, it was noted, she noted that several of her bones were broken. And that she was very, very mad at this at this spacesuit man that gave her a lecture and then threw her through a ceiling.
She deserved it.
He also received no hint that the fight was any struggle for him. And Daro mentioned that while fighting alongside the artifacts, none of them broke except for the ones he was picking up, the ones that were sturdier, and throwing them.
I have done research.
He was also hit only once in the fight by the Nihil that breached his suit. And then he let out his true form. Like a video game boss. And used it to to ensnare one of the Nihil while killing the other one.
Okay.
And, and the Nihil were freaked out because they didn't know where to shoot. Because you can't, if you shoot him, he doesn't have a heart. Where are you going to shoot this guy? And basically, they threw them off even more by the fact of he's an amorphous blob, and how are you going to fight an amorphous blob with a lightsaber?
That's true. Also, they probably hadn't seen that before, so it was just like, what is this? Yeah.
Also, they're high as hell, right?
Yeah, they were on a lot of drugs.
Yeah, so they're high.
They fly in
space. Attacked by a blob.
I should mention, Elzar is very impatient.
Yeah.
And he already thinks Orvalin is boring. So once Orvalin starts talking to him and like lecturing in a fight, then Elzar is going to be thrown off. No,
and then Elzar is just going to get bored and end it so we can go home.
Yeah.
When these people got bored.
So we can go home.
When these people got bored and tried to end it so they can go home, they broke all of their bones.
They're pirates that smoke crack.
And one of the most dangerous people in the galaxy.
Who's on crack?
No, she wasn't actually. During the fight, she wasn't.
We're talking about a Jedi. Who, by the way, is one of two Jedi to successfully survive the crash of the Starlight Beacon.
No, he didn't. He wasn't on Starlight Beacon.
Who else survived the crash of Starlight Beacon?
Several people that evacuated.
No. Jedi. That we know of. It's him and Bell Zedifar.
Technically, you can point Avar, because she was on there. She was on the ship. Also, Indira Stokes.
She wasn't there. She evacuated. Yeah. Bell Zedifar went back.
Yeah, and? He evacuated the ship.
He evacuated before it fell. I investigated Orbalin's death. He did die on the Atraxia. Okay, now, he died on the Atraxia during that disastrous Starlight Beacon. He was left in charge of none other than Lorna D, and the next thing you know, he's dead.
That conjecture? That sounds a lot like conjecture.
It sounds a lot like I didn't read the comic book because it wouldn't tell me.
Did you walk?
But I know for sure that he is dead. I know for sure he was in charge of Lorna D.
Victoria?
Yes.
This is a massive leap in logic. We don't even know if they walked into
the... Fuck you talking about massive leap in logic. Because
you don't know if they walked into the room. It's just like, oh no, Orbalin's dead.
Would he just fall over? He had a heart attack?
Orbalin is dead. He has blaster burns and lightsaber cuts
from
in
who?
Him. Or did the explosions that happened on the Ataraxia kill him? You have no idea of what killed
him. The point is, he dead.
That does not.
The point is, he is dead.
Hayden, I hate to tell you, everybody on this tournament is dead.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's a long time ago.
I have Elzar Man. Elzar Man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Human male Jedi. Jedi during the High Republic. Okay. Able to survive along with Bell Zedifar after this disaster on Starlight Beacon. Okay. He has an affinity for the ladies. I wrote that down.
That's good for him.
He's hot. There's no way around it. He's hot.
And he knows it.
Though he only has his eye out for one girl.
Yeah. Who is also a Jedi.
Yeah.
Right. He liked to mess with the Force and find new ways to use it. And he never liked using the Force the same way twice. That includes rediscovering, basically rediscovering ways that people used to use the Force that they don't anymore. Mm. So he knows a lot of tricks that nobody else knows about when it comes to the Force.
He's essentially the Anakin of the High Republic.
Yes. Oh. He could sense, the Force in others along with rediscovering lost Force abilities. He later appeared to Luke. After his death as a vision, saying that he must be dead because if he were alive, Luke would know his name.
Huh. That's a bit arrogant of you. I'm sorry.
He also, in that conversation with Luke, confirmed the reappearance of the Sith for the first time in a millennium, which we haven't gotten to yet.
The Acolyte
TV show? Literally said, yes, the Sith did exist in this time. So we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
But it's only a matter of time. Now, there are theories regarding this man. As Aaron said, he is the Anakin of the High Republic. While Stellan Geos was the Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stellan Geos is dead. Spoiler alert. Stellan Geos is dead.
You really don't care about
spoilers. Most people are dead.
I don't.
Stellan Geos is canonically dead. He died in the as the last casualty of Starlight Beacon.
Yes. Yeah, didn't we talk about him already?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. So, that was his best friend.
Yes.
Aww. All
right. He still got his lady lover. Mm-hmm. Okay. As far he's as
keeping
know,
the secret
she's
of...
still alive.
Keeping the secret that he kind of... A lot of the guilt that Elzar feels is keeping that as a secret from Eivor for now.
He's got a lot of... He's got a haunted past.
He's a very haunted man.
Yeah. He also killed somebody.
He cut
a woman in half.
Yeah. Why?
She was former Nihil in his defense, but he thought that she was Nihil trying to sabotage like their last chance to get down. She was actually trying to like save her own life and get the station, like doing the same thing he does, but for her own life. And he thought she was Nihil, so he jumped down and cut her in half.
Yeah.
Like Darth Maul, but like a little higher, so she did actually die.
Oh.
Also, in the battle on that Aaron was talking about, where Orbelin was able to destroy or defeat Lorna D, he jumped from across like a walkway from building to building through a window. You remember that part?
Yeah.
So. Does that, and he's just like sort of a maverick kind of guy. He does his own thing. Good with a lightsaber.
Tempted by the dark side.
Tempted by the dark side, which just makes him more powerful.
It also, he is very guilty every time he does it.
Yeah, but also, he is annoyed by Orbelin. So he would like to get this fight over with as soon as possible.
He also underestimates Orbelin.
But he is annoyed by
Because
Orbelin.
He has no idea.
He would like to get this fight over with as much as possible. Orbelin is known for defeating Lorna D. And I know you're going to say, she was the most dangerous woman in the galaxy at that time. But I say, he has a lightsaber, she did not.
She's killed Jedi.
He was a trained Jedi. Who?
She's killed several... She's renowned for names. Killing Jedi. Well, they didn't give names, Hayden. You know names. They didn't give names. Well,
then we need names.
Who else did... what's your guy's name again?
Elzar Mann.
Who else did Elzar Mann kill besides just some innocent woman?
Oh, he killed countless Nihil.
Names.
Yeah.
They definitely don't give Nihil names, Aaron, and you know that. There's only like four Nihil that have names.
Names.
Give us some credible killing note takes or something. All I got is he just chopped some woman in half unexpectedly.
This guy was a archivist that wasn't used to fighting. My guy was out there in the trenches.
Fighting who?
The Nihil, the same people that this guy was fighting.
Weak.
This what is a weak argument.
It you're is just such saying, a like, weak argument. He's I agree with Aaron.
Dude, you're not making
You're
a
giving
thing
me
here.
Nothing here to actually. Aaron gave me a whole fight where he was actually fighting people and winning, and why he won.
Or like Orbelin's very much a Yoda kind of person. He moves slow.
Do not.
No. Dude,
Yoda moves slow.
It's a Yoda complex.
Yoda moves slow.
Yoda moves slow. Yes.
In a fight?
No. Like whenever you see Yoda walking around, he moves very slow. He
yeah,
looks
there's
like
a difference
scholar.
Between Yoda and Orbelin.
Hayden,
Yoda
sit back.
Moved slow around because he was old. In a fight, though, there was no cane.
Hayden.
That was a flying frog.
If you let me finish. He is there, not a people frog. Have talked about the Yoda, like the complex and the facade that Yoda puts on. Yoda walks around very slowly. He looks like a scholar. He looks old. I'll take the old away from Orba, but generally... He looks like he hasn't been in a fight ever, and he doesn't look like he's going to do very well in a fight, but in reality, he's very good at it. So that causes another level of disorientation when the fight actually begins.
Yeah, it's another level of disorientation.
Okay, at the very, then, okay. But you're going to tell me that Orvalin is as good a swordsman as Elzar Mann is?
If Elzar Mann gets disoriented and really bored, yeah, definitely.
Okay, but...
Give us an argument. Find some things.
My guy is way more, way stronger in the force than Orvalin is.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, how does that not matter?
Because skill over power, Hayden, all of the time.
Skill over power?
Yes.
They have the same skill.
You don't know
that. At the very least, their skill is the same. Once we're off of this podcast, Aaron is going to turn to me and he's going to say, Elzar Mann should have won that fight.
No.
Because you know the truth.
No, I know who should win this fight. It should actually Elzar be Orvalin.
No.
It should be Orvalin.
No.
Because Elzar gets bored very easily.
It doesn't matter. He
gets disoriented very easily.
He doesn't
easily.
Get bored during fights, Aaron.
He gets disoriented whenever he realizes that Orvalin's just giving a lecture. And he's just going to get confused about that. And that's the entire point Orba has for giving a lecture during a fight. Is people get restless into fights.
No. He'll get bored. But he's not a Nihil. Do not confuse him with Nihil. The only fight that we have him fighting in, Orvalin fighting in, was against two scrubs.
No, two hand-selected scrubs. Assassins, Hayden.
Do they have names?
Actually, yes. I didn't want to look.
Does anybody care?
Actually, one of them was who they interrogated later for. When they were interrogated for, the purpose of the attack.
Scrubs.
So they did, that one did matter.
Two scrubs.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Lorna D.
Elzar hasn't fought anybody notable, has he? He just fought a bunch of scrubs.
I mean, Elzar knows what Orvalin looks like on the inside, so that's one up on those scrubs, isn't it? Yes.
He only knows Orba from the spacesuit.
He should know what he looks like because he's a Jedi and he went to school. He should know what species he is.
Did you know
and that? Know what he looks like.
You know Elzar did not pay attention during school.
You know Elzar was there, though!
Oh, this is getting out of hand.
Elzar should have been a master, according to everybody. Yeah, he should have been on the council.
Except for him. Because he Elzar did realize that he was too immature and too rash to be a master.
But everybody thinks he should be master, and he will be on the council next time we see him.
Will he?
Everybody else is dead!
Didn't really.
He's probably going to take Stellan Geos' spot, because that's just how it works.
Maybe a bit down the line. He has much to do first.
You're bullshit. Okay. It's late, so you got me flustered. That's all. But this is bullshit. You know Orvalin can't beat Elzar Mann in a fight. You know that. Your conscious mind knows that. She's never read either of these books, so she doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that means...
But you know better than this, Aaron.
But that means you should have brought a better argument, Hayden. Oh,
you're being slanderous.
I do not slanderous? Presenting my character. And I
you know the truth. I know you know the truth.
I know that Elzar greatly underestimates Orba.
You also know that Elzar is of much higher force power and lightsaber ability than Orvalin is.
And that he vastly underestimates Orba. Darth Maul was much more powerful than Ahsoka Tano. And Ahsoka beat him.
Who is Orvalin?
Because he underestimated
him. Who is Orvalin's contemporary during the Clone Wars?
During the Clone Wars? No one was really the
Archivist. Who was the Archivist?
Nobody noticed, actually. The Librarian is who you're thinking.
The Librarian.
But she was not the Archivist. It was different.
That's a Librarian versus a historian, Hayden. Who is Elzar Mann's contemporary?
Somebody much more powerful.
No, you
than
said
him.
It already.
He's
what's his name?
His story trope is Anakin.
What's his name?
His story trope is Anakin.
Yeah, so what happened between Anakin and the other lady?
After he fell to the dark side?
Yep.
When he was a completely different
person.
And you recognize that he was a completely different person? That's
Does
why he's
matter?
On this tournament
Does
twice.
Does it matter? You saying that Anakin could not handle himself against that lady before he became Darth Vader? Be honest with your damn self. Stop lying to yourself.
If she gave a lecture.
Whatever. Whatever. There is no way Orvalin is able to out lightsaber duel and outforce Elzar Man. No way. No how. Never.
Despite being like Anakin Skywalker, Elzar Man is not nearly as powerful as
nobody is, Aaron. Skywalker. Nobody is.
Just remember that. Victoria, do you have any questions?
No. Did you want to say anything else, Hayden? Like a closing remark
before? He knows. Oh, geez. He knows what he's saying is bullshit.
This isn't helping your argument.
He knows that.
Whatever Aaron knows, I don't.
Okay, for a long time, Elzar Man was out of balance with the Force. Mm-hmm. Okay? He spent a very long time getting back into balance with the Force, and that includes having complete control over the Force. So if you want to talk about his Force abilities, he now has complete control over the Force, which involves turning it on and off. That's very hard to do. We talked about it with Bell Zedifar. That's mm-hmm. really impressive that somebody can completely cut something out of the Force. He is also able to do that.
Okay.
Can Blob Guy do that? Blob Guy is dead. Blob Guy is never going to do anything else ever again. He's dead.
Elzar is also dead.
Yeah. Elzar's story's not over, Aaron.
Oh, I must be dead because you don't know my name.
Yeah. Why do you think he fucking said that? There is more arrogant to come from him. Orbalin is dead on the floor.
Because he's arrogant and kind of looks like a soap opera actor.
The second part is true. The first part is that he knows that he should be known by these other Jedi. He's done shit to be recognized by these other Jedi. That's why he said that. He hasn't done shit as of yet to be recognized by the other Jedi. He's just a normal, like, master, like, just outside the council level Jedi right now. So he's still going to do stuff to gain more renown.
So he has
potential to grow? Does Orvalin have potential to grow?
Well, I mean,
say it with me now. Orvalin is dead.
Since he's amorphous.
He is dead.
Since he's amorphous. Yes, your technically.
Your character is dead.
He technically does have room to grow. Outside of the suit.
Why doesn't he just go back to his books so he doesn't have to fight about this? Just go back to studying more books before you die on the ship to so somebody who had already defeated him here.
Victoria, you've heard my argument.
I have.
Do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
So, great potential. Handsome guy.
He's still alive.
No, Hayden, he's dead. All of these characters are dead.
In
the story, he's still alive.
All of these people are dead.
Have we seen him die?
All of these people. Just because his death is not being confirmed.
No, we have not seen him die.
Does not mean
he's alive.
You know
who we have seen die? At the hands of a cracked out pirate?
We have not seen him die at the hands of a cracked out pirate. That was a ton of conjecture.
Listen here. Listen here. Elzar wins.
Thank you.
There we go. Okay? Can we all go to sleep now?
Yeah. Hayden hates Elzar, by the way. Hayden does not like Elzar.
Why were you fighting this
hard? Not a big fan. Because I don't want to lose. And Aaron knows. You know that Elzar would beat Orvalin in a fight.
No.
Yes,
I do. After thinking about like how he incorporates lectures into his fight, I do think would just vastly disorient Elzar. But I respect the judgment of our judge.
Thank you, Aaron.
He's not even fighting that he lost, so he knows. We have one more.
Yeah. This is the big event.
Let's try to do this
one as quick as possible. You know both of these characters. We don't really need to go into too much detail. Qui-Gon Jinn versus Fennec Shand.
Who's Fennec Shand?
Oh, she works with... Well, she doesn't work with. Like, they're partners. She's partners with Boba.
And who's Qui-Gon Jinn?
This
one's much more difficult.
Qui-Gon Jinn. Isn't he a Jedi?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly, like, the backstory of Qui-Gon Jinn, but I know he was around during the time of, like, Anakin and, like...
He definitely was.
He absolutely was, yes.
Oh, wait. He was the guy who discovered Anakin. That's who Qui-Gon Jinn was. He's Liam Neeson. Yeah, he was...
And Ming-Na Wen.
Obi-Wan's master, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Dooku's apprentice.
Yeah, he was Dooku's apprentice.
So, I have Fennec Shand on the lower seat here. Fennec Shand, name of maid, you know all of that. I'll just brief through this. Made her name for herself as a bounty hunter, doing hits for the Hutts shortly after the Empire formed. An early mission of hers that you don't know about. She was hired to find and bring the second and only, there were only two, unaltered clone of Jango Fett to the Kaminoans. The first one was known as Alpha, later went by the name Boba, and the second one is Omega, and the main character of the Bad Batch series. This is hence why I took Fennec. And she actually befriended Omega and like showed respect and showed caring. No, Omega's the child.
Little baby
Hunter. Hunter's child. Like Rambo.
There's a child?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Look it up. She also has a more prominent accent than the rest of them. Her accent's more prominently New Zealandish. New Zealand. How do you
New Zealander?
Yeah. I think that's how you would say that.
Or you could just say a New Zealand accent.
Yeah, it's more prominent. It's a more prominent New Zealand accent. Anyway, this job ended up with her fighting Cad Bane, in which she won and forced Cad Bane to retreat. And then she was successfully able to protect Omega. It's complicated. Later on, she made a name for herself, became Master Assassin and a very big paycheck and a very big name. Whenever the New Republic formed, all of her employers were dead. She hid on Tatooine until Din Djarin and Taran Kalikos showed up. She was able to get bested because of Din, pretty much. And then Calican betrayed her and shot her. Boba Fett picked her up. She had robotic enhancements in her stomach. She helped Boba get his armor back and helped Din get his child back. And now she's the second in command of Boba Fett's criminal empire.
Mm. Nice. Okay, you go now.
Her equipment includes a modified sniper rifle with two hidden knives in the stock, a blaster pistol, an acidic dagger. I think it's acidic. Like she used to like cut the bars and like melted through the bars. She stabbed that one pike with that thing.
That's fine.
Which means that pike like melted.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They deserved it.
Completely. Several explosives and a miniature probe droid.
I would like to start this off by saying that I respect Fennec Shand.
Yes.
Who would it?
With that being said, my guy Qui-Gon Jinn has been shown blocking blaster bolts from droidicus. You shoot considerably faster than she does.
Actually, no, they actually shoot around the same time. That's part of the thing I'm pointing out here. She shoots very extremely fast with a sniper rifle and never misses.
Multiple
droidicas weapons. Miss.
Anyways, Qui-Gon Jinn. Okay. Human male Jedi offered a seat on the council but refused. Didn't always follow the orders and the teachings of the Jedi. Obi-Wan was... his apprentice, he was eventually killed by Maul, as we all saw famously, getting hit in the face with the broadside of a light pike and getting stabbed in the gut.
Yeah, because he had bad defense, is essentially in the... like.
And that's why Obi-Wan...
If there was, like, commentators... Defense. If there was commentators on that fight, they would be coming back from there. It's a big upset for Qui-Gon. he had a bad defense, Darth Maul really made sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so that fight went on for a very long time, as we know.
Yes.
Qui-Gon Jinn was old.
Yes.
He was in, like, his almost 50s. He was old
for a Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he was younger, he was much more renowned for his fighting ability.
Spry, but not as, like, powerful in the Force.
No. But he tired out, and that's why he was defeated. His defense started lacking.
Not what I'm used to being.
Yeah. But in a shorter fight against Darth Maul on Tatooine, he was able to fight him off.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. He was able to stall until the ship came by and then jumped on. And he was sweating profusely because the dude was dueling on Tatooine.
It's like a desert.
Both of them. Dude, poor. Do you imagine how sweaty Malt must have been?
He was wearing like long black robes.
And he was covering all parts of his skin, had the hood up and everything. He must have been sweating hard.
Mm-mm. Anyways, he was a great warrior when he was younger, so much the Dooku knew to be wary of both Obi-Wan and Anakin because they came from the same tree. Basically, they both
from Qui-Gon. The analogous form of a Jedi family.
So, since Obi-Wan learned from Qui-Gon and Anakin learned from Obi-Wan, Dooku knew to be wary of fighting those two. He knew that they would be powerful. He was one of the first Jedi to become one with the Force and live on after death, teaching both Yoda partially. And Obi-Wan. Partially. He did not go full ghost.
So he's only a disembodied voice, which mood. he's, but he does not appear as a Force ghost.
He's the one that told Yoda to go to Dagobah.
Dagobah. And he also taught.
Finish his training.
He's also going to show up in the Kenobi show.
Yeah. Because he taught Obi-Wan how to do that.
Yeah, he taught Obi-Wan how to be a Force ghost.
Yeah. So obviously, big Force guy.
Yeah.
Master Assassin. An absolute girl boss.
Able to block blaster bolts with lightsaber.
Yeah.
Stone doing it in TV.
All my feats you've seen, including her like holding off two transports of stormtroopers by herself and like owning it. One of the feats you have not seen is whenever she fought Cad Bane. Cad Bane, you know Cad Bane's quick draw is extremely fast.
Cad Bane's weak.
Yeah, but the only good thing he has is a quick draw, right?
Yeah.
She was able to do a dodge roll out of the way of Cad Bane's quick draw before he could fire. Which, she hit double B faster than that guy hit X. That is, I'm going to back away from the mic now.
We saw in one movie, Qui-Gon Jinn fight, or block blaster bolts from two droidicas.
And then he didn't block blaster bolts that much for the rest of the movie.
He did. There was like when they were on Naboo, there were droids all over the place.
I said that much. I know he blocked blaster bolts.
Hey, Aaron, I have a question for you. This is this has nothing to do with the fight, so just answer honestly. Okay, a battalion of droids and a battalion of stormtroopers.
Probably stormtroopers.
Even after they're like no longer clones.
Droids are really dumb.
Even after they're no longer clones.
Yeah.
What if it's like super battle droids?
Super battle droids in there? Well, if you're going to do that, then you also have to include heavy stormtroopers. Like artillery stormtroopers. Shock trooper stormtroopers.
You get better.
They have more. Stormtroopers actually have a 77% hit rate.
I know. You don't have to explain that precision to me. Okay. I'm not that kind of guy. It's like, they never hit anybody. Every time they miss somebody, they were ordered not to kill them.
Yeah.
So.
Or like, they were a very important person.
If you want to talk about the stormtroopers having bad aim, look in the background. The other rebel fighters and stuff, how many of them were yoinked?
Also, look at how much they've hit Din.
Exactly.
They've hit Din Djarin so much.
But he has armor.
Yeah.
But Qui-Gon Jinn can block blaster bolts and use the Force, and he can also do that jumpy thing. You remember the jumpy thing? You know, the Force jump? And he can do Force sprint as well.
Like any Jedi?
Yeah, exactly. That's all that he needs at this moment. If she can't do Force jump, she can't do Force sprint, she can't block a lightsaber because she doesn't have anything to block a lightsaber with.
Yeah, but she's extremely agile.
Can she jump when she's being held in the air with the Force?
Would she shoot?
Yep.
Nope. One thing I did that's very recent from, and I guess spoilers for Book of Boba Fett, her end thing against in the finale whenever she killed like the guards and all of the, and like the heads of the Pike kind of coalition in one go, including going from an active war zone into like heavily Pike-controlled territory and guarded territory, murdered several guards and three leaders of Mos Espa's, like, I can't remember exactly what they were called, what they called those groups. Clans, kind of. But she murdered all three of them without being seen from the outside with her sniper rifle, got inside, and stabbed the Pike without making any noise. And it, so she's extremely agile and very good at stealth. She also has
a lot of stealth.
She also has that entire like chase scene with the assassins, where she's able to be extremely agile and basically like be innovative in her parkour to basically jump off a building and then still beat those guys in that.
How about Qui-Gon Jinn sneaking entirely through a separatist space station, getting onto a spaceship with a bunch of droids, flying down to Naboo, and then escaping the droids?
They were turned off.
Whatever.
I have a decision. So I have come to a conclusion. And my conclusion is that I respect Fennec, but I believe Qui-Gon would win.
Yay.
Yeah.
By the way, have you, I'll say that. Whatever. Yeah, edit this part. Anyway, let's finish this, shall we?
Oh.
Yes, let's.
Okay.
Oh, does no one care why? Okay.
Oh, I mean, why? Cool. Wait, you have a reason?
Yeah.
Oh, you have a
reason. What's your reason?
Go.
Oh,
please tell reason.
Us.
Get some screen time here.
Okay.
Yeah, get airtime.
Airtime.
Well, basically, my thought process was, when you brought up the, like, line of tree thing, I tried to just connect the most recent person that I could, and I thought about her fighting Ahsoka, and I couldn't see her winning against Ahsoka. And
it is the same tree.
It is the same tree.
And so since I couldn't see her winning against Ahsoka in the tree, that's why.
Makes sense. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I okay. can't personally. I can't wait to see Fennec. What happens with Fennec? Because she's new.
Yeah.
And Fennec's already like totally awesome.
Yeah. She's a monster.
Oh yeah.
But like a nice one.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Just don't get on
depends
our bad
side.
Yeah. Depends who you are.
If you're Boba, if you wear Mandalorian armor, then you're on a good side.
Yeah. If you're Grogu, you're great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is all for this episode. I won more today than I thought I would.
Way to go.
Congratulations. Yeah, Hayden thought he was going to come away with no wins, including
none.
Elzar.
None. Zip.
Including Elzar.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying we should go back.
No. Yeah, yeah. So we should go back to the Elzar overlay.
I fought tooth and nail for these two wins, okay?
I liked the other guy more anyway.
I solid 5 minutes straight. I'm good.
I think it was longer than that.
It was.
Tune in next week for Darth and Dedu versus Sabine Wren.
I don't know who those are.
I know. Sabine was one of the main characters in Rebels. Marco Ragnos versus Finn.
Don't know who those are, except for Finn.
you're presenting Finn this time,
yeah,
so congratulations.
Yeah, I actually know who that is, so that's good.
Chiru versus Asajj Ventress.
I don't know, I'm just kidding. I know.
Forgot Chiru's last name. Just look it up. We're at the end here. We're already too long. And Barriss Offee versus Luminara Unduly. Master versus Apprentice.
That's
going to be emotional.
How did that even happen?
I don't know.
How do we let this happen?
We're smarter than this. Apparently not. Let's close the show, shall we?
We're pretty dumb. All right. See you guys next week. Talk to us on the socials. Go back and listen to old episodes.
Yeah.
We have a new most listened to episode in our archives.
What is that?
The Darth Malgus episode continues to get more listens.
Oh, sweet.
And is now our number one most listened to episode.
Woo!
Good for him, I guess.
Give us some traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help us
share
get
us
out
around.
There.
Let us know how you feel.
Yeah, if you have arguments with us.
Yeah,
we just, have arguments with each other. We're used to it.
just argue with us. We got
even if it's negative, come tell me I'm dumb.
Give us negative feedback.
Do it.
Coward.
Bet you
I
won't.
Dare you.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Catch you later.
Have a good week. Be nice to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Say bye.
Bye.
Jesus. You too.
I'm eating no Snickers.
That's a bye.
We'll wait.
No, just close out the episode.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.